Okay, good evening. Sunday night. It's Sunday night of Parshas Maaseh. It's the seventh shiur of this series, and it's the sixth shiur of Perek Dalad. Lila Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Rav Nosson. I don't know, nobody has the sefer that I have, so there's no point saying the page number. We're in Perek Revi'i, and we're at the tail end of his explanation of the application of bitachon in everyday life. And we're going to learn now about health, even though we talked a lot about it, but I don't want to skip what the Chovetz Chavos has to say about it. You know, we veered off into it because of other discussions, but let's at least learn the words of the Chovetz Chavos. V'kach hadavar, the same application. The application he's speaking of, just to bring us up to date, is that when it comes to the basic necessities, he's going to move into things beyond basic necessities in a few lines, if we finally get to the Chelek HaSheni. In the Chelek HaRishon, he says, when it comes to basic necessities, bitachon's a no-brainer. Hashem gives you life, so just trust Hashem to give you life, and to give you the health that you need to live, and to give you a shelter, and to give you the basics. And that should be, it's easier, it's more logical, it's more important though. It's more of an avoda to make sure that you don't start relying on your boss or whatever for your basic, for the fact that you have basic parnasa, your basic needs are met. V'kach hadavar b'inyan habriyos v'hacholi, so same thing with health and sickness. Shechayev adam liftoach b'Hashem, v'kach, it's erased by me, I can't see. V'yisasek, okay. Yechayev liftoach b'Hashem, meaning here it's like the basic chiyuv, because we're talking about basic health, that you shouldn't, that you should be able to exist, you should be able to function. And that you should have to be b'tech b'Hashem when you're healthy. Everybody's b'tech b'Hashem when they're sick, so to speak. But, you know, when we're talking, we think, okay, when's the nesayin of b'tachon? And it is a nesayin. When I'm sick and I go to the doctor, so I have to be talking to Hashem. But the truth is, then it's easy or easier. What the Chovetz Chavos wants is to be b'tech b'Hashem when we're healthy, and to realize, to appreciate, to realize it's from Hashem, to develop our bitachon when things are going well. That's what he said about parnasa, and that's what he's saying here also. The yisaseik b'asmodus habriyos, but certainly he has to make sure to be misasek with the basic, with things that hishtadlus, what would be nichlal under hishtadlus. He has to make sure he doesn't cross the street without looking, and he has to have bars on his windows, and he has to dress properly, and he has to eat properly. We're talking what's properly, we're not talking whole wheat bread and only raw vegetables. We discussed that at length, but he's talking about eating unhealthy things, eating trans fats. They just banned it in California in the restaurants, you saw?
Really?
California just banned trans fats in the restaurants. No. They banned it.
No.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, okay. Well, that's not what the Chovetz Chavos is talking about. Maybe it is, if they banned it, and if they think it's so dangerous. See, the world's crazy now, so you really can't tell. But the Chovetz Chavos would say, looking through the prism of the Chovetz Chavos, we would be tempted to say that once society accepts it as, like we said about seatbelts, you know, it's true. Once society considers it dangerous, then it is dangerous. And your basic hishtadlus is indeed to follow along with what society considers dangerous. And you can't always apply the... Right, and you can't apply the rule. Maybe it was always dangerous, but we have the rule of Shemir Psoyim Hashem, which is if society accepts a certain degree of danger in order to go about. Because maybe statistically, we always do things that are much more dangerous than drive that are much. We are afraid to do things that are much less dangerous than driving a car. Much less dangerous, much statistically much less dangerous. But we're scared, and we get into a car every day. and we drive. And many there are poskim that say that really, given it should be also to go in a car. But since it's everyday life, and it's an acceptable risk that society takes, in other words, the government sometimes will make laws and they'll pass rules, and they'll say, you know, you'll see sometimes someone will get emotional and say, I want you to know, even if it saves one person's life, it's still worthwhile. One person's life. Well, it would certainly save many people's lives if we would all stop driving cars. Many people's lives would be saved. Thousands and thousands of lives would be saved. The Teretz is society wants to live. We like the convenience of an automobile, and we accept the risk. But out of the context of that, automobile driving should be, if trans fats is banned, can you imagine how driving a car should be banned? I mean, I don't know, shaykhis. So halacha recognizes this also. It's not a joke. In halacha, this is called the rule of Shoyme Psoyim Hashem. By the way, you nice ladies, I'll let you in on a secret. When you say Hallel, it's Shoyme Psoyim Hashem. The Chirik is under the Yud, not under the Aleph. It's in Hallel. Shoyme Psoyim. So many people say Shoyme Psoyim Hashem. Dalosi deli Yehoshia, Shuvinafshi l'mnuchaychi, ki Hashem gomal aloychi, ki chilatzto nafshi mimovas. It's in the paragraph. It's in the paragraph of Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem is kolei techamayim. So why do I make such a big deal out of it, you ask? Was the rabbi teaching us pronunciation? So first of all, get it. Let's get it. It's psoyim, not psoim. Because the word is, the singular is pesi. So the plural is pesoyim. There's an aleph there, but the aleph is silent. Why do I make such a big deal out of it? Because we say this in Hallel when we say whole Hallel. When we say whole Hallel, we make a bracha on Hallel. And I don't want to scare anybody, but if you make a bracha on the whole Hallel and you skip one word, you've made a bracha levatala. I hope I'm not scaring you. You're not yotzei Hallel if you skip just one word, because this is the... When you say half Hallel, if I don't know if the ladies say it, on Rosh Chodesh, so then you skip. You could skip. We skip, so it doesn't matter. But when we say whole Hallel, you have to say every single word. And if you mispronounce this word, it's like you didn't say the word. So that's why I consider it very important. So when do... I guess, when is this Nogeya? I don't know if women daven. So if you daven on Hanukkah, you'll say whole Hallel, and if you daven on Sukkot, you'll be saying whole Hallel, if you say Hallel, if you have a chance to say Hallel. And on Shavuos, you say the whole Hallel, and the first day Pesach. So you should know the word is Shoyme Psoyim Hashem. Okay, you're making a bracha, you have to know how to pronounce the word right. Getting back to the halacha recognizes that society does dangerous things and accepts it because... like driving a car. So the halacha recognizes that concept. The Gemara talks about it, and that's called the rule of Shoyme Psoyim Hashem. That's the legal terminology. Literally, it means Hashem watches over the foolish. That's what it means. Hashem watches over the foolish, but the Gemara says there's a halachic principle in this pasuk. The halachic principle is exactly this, what I'm saying now. That when society accepts doing something, even though it's risky, but it's part of normal life in society, and that's all. You want the convenience of a car, you know, so maybe cell phones are dangerous, I don't know, but we've accepted that risk when we talk on the cell phone, right? Even though I just saw ladies there know more than me, but they said you should stay at least, I think, a meter away when you're charging it. Don't go to sleep at night and it's charging right above your head. That they just said, and that's, you know, that sounds to me a reasonable precaution to take. Stay a meter away from the charging cell phone. Okay. Okay, you got to be able to these things, and they ban trans fats in California. Come on, you gotta. Yeah.
Going back to your Hallel, if it's in English.
If you say it in English, yeah, then you have to still say every word. Then you just have to make use. If you're saying whole Hallel with a bracha in English, you should say, you have to get a very exact translation.
Okay.
just make sure you get a translation of every word. It shouldn't be a. You have to check it out. You can give it to the rabbi to check out, but you have to check it out. Sometimes the translation will be non-literal. They'll paraphrase, and then you're not really saying every word. I don't know. You give it to the rabbi, he checks it out. That's his job.
Can I ask about something like this trans fats being banned in California and carbon?
Yeah.
Aren't these things, though, motivated more by financial reasons? So many of the trends and things.
Okay, we had this conversation already. Yeah, you have to check it out and see who's behind it. If it's a political movement that has an agenda, the Green Party, and it's people that with a liberal, usually it's the liberal agenda people that think they can control everything. We talked about this already. I really don't want to get back into that conversation. You have to see if it's, if it's medically based. But trans fats, I think we all would agree. Trans fats, again, once a state bans it, it's hard to, we could sit here and laugh, but there's something to be said for, it's like seatbelts. Once society says this is dangerous, then perhaps hishtadlus would be not to poo-poo it. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I want to check it out and I say, this is because the governor signed the bill because he wanted the Green Party votes in his coalition. But it both ends of this. Hishtadlus will be governed by society many times. So you have the banning of trans fats, let's say, and maybe seatbelts. Let's talk about seatbelts, where everybody, I guess, would be moda now. All poskim, all rabbanim would be moda that not using a seatbelt would be normal hishtadlus that you mechuyev to do. Over the last 5 years, 10 years, we've seen a major shift in attitude towards smoking, that now smoking is seen as dangerous behavior, not shomer psoyim Hashem. Even when they knew it was dangerous, many poskim felt it falls under the category of shomer psoyim Hashem, which is like driving a car, right? That halachic principle. By now, my son-in-law, who stopped smoking, he never smoked heavily, but he enjoyed a cigarette, so he stopped smoking within the last few months. So he just went to America. He was giving a shiur for a month in the summer, in some summer camp. He gave a shiur to the boys, to yeshiva. Okay, anyway, so I said he's for sure going to fall off the wagon. That's what I thought, because he's going to be there, and he's going to be talking and learning. It's like a high-level shiur, and there's nothing, you take a cigarette, you talk, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I do. And it's like really a pattern of behavior. I'll fall into a behavioral pattern when you're figuring out pshat and tesis, and you're really deep, deep into it, you take out a cigarette and smoke it. He comes from that world. So I said, he's for sure going to fall off the wagon. A pity, he worked so hard to stop smoking. He didn't touch a cigarette. He said, no. And he said, in America, America's totally, nobody smokes anymore. Nobody smokes anymore. It's like out. It's out of the box. It's just, even like the diehard, yeshiva guy, they just don't smoke anymore. He didn't even have an isoyan, he told me. Baruch Hashem. Okay. And here it's becoming like that too. Al Kaponim, let's go back to the Chavis Halvodos. Certainly you have to do your Hishtadlus of health. The Yimna Sacholi Benoik Shirgina Lamono, you have to prevent yourself from getting ill. Kafishat Siva Hashem, Varapo Yurapin, you have to go to a doctor. Even though, why am I ill? So, you could say, well, something's wrong. The Rambam maintains that you're only going to be ill if you didn't practice healthy living. That's the only reason you're going to get ill. Otherwise, why should you get ill? Why should your body break down? But, the body breaks down, so some hold, Christian scientists, and the Rambam holds ideally We shouldn't run to a doctor. We should, if we checked ourselves and we're not practicing unhealthy practices, so you do tshuva and you're sick for a reason. But we do not hold like that. The Chavis Holdovers doesn't hold like that. The Rambam doesn't hold like that. You go to a doctor, and the doctor's going to give you drugs, and the doctor's going to make you better. And that's normal hishtadlus, the Chavis Holdovers is saying. Why were you sick? I don't know. I mean, first of all, certainly it could be a spur to do tshuva because something's wrong with your life if you're ill. I say to my wife many times, only half jokingly, you know, Baruch Hashem, all the sicknesses in the family, Bli Ayin Hara, they ended up being just monetary expenditures. You know, the medicine's there, the doctors are there. I know there are people who are sick that, you know, there's no medicine for, I'm aware of that. But I'm saying, we're living in a generation, or in the last few decades, the advancement of medicines is so remarkable. Right, kids used to, you know, people used to count the number of kids that survived childhood. It used to be, okay, well, I had 8 kids and 4 died, and I mean, I'm talking in the 1800s, you know, not that long ago. What? And we're living in a door where, like, you know, so I'm saying, you know, you get sick and you go buy antibiotics and then, you know, you're not sick anymore. So it's a monetary issue. I say, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, when I daven, we shouldn't get sick. I daven in Baruch Aleinu, not in Refaenu. I can't afford to get sick. So, but okay. But Kaponim the Chavis Holdovers says the Hishtadlus is to go to a doctor, certainly. But don't be boteach that he's in control. Now, he says a very interesting thing. It's a chiddush for the Chavis Holdovers to talk that way, I think. He says that when you chashayiftach al Hashem, yirapeyu mechol yo besiba ubeli siba. We don't believe, we don't expect, or we certainly don't anticipate miracles. So you say, you know, my illness is not going to go away on its own. I get medicine, and if the medical field doesn't have a medicine for this illness, but the Chavis Holdovers, I think it's a tremendous chiddush. He says now, he says, do your hishtadlus, but you always remember that Hashem's in charge, and remember that part of bitachon and Hashem to cure you from your illness is that Hashem can cure you without medicine. Yishlach tvoro v'yirpa'im, we say in Tehillim, v'yimaleit mishchisosam. Hashem sends his word and you're cured. And you don't know how Hashem will send the cure. Could be the condition will go away on its own. V'efshar sheyirapeyu b'siba hamazika lo b'yoser. Maybe the cure. So if I was learning this 100 years ago, I would say to Chavis Holdovers, like talking like mystically, says the cure is in what's mazik you, that will cure you. What would be harmful to you, Hashem could make that be in the cure. And he brings down from Elisha when there was the waters that were putrid, so he Hashem told him to throw in. Now he's talking miracles. We're going to talk about this. We have to discuss this. Chavis Holdovers brings down miracles to prove a point. So, how can you prove a point from a miracle? He says, Elisha threw in salt, was told, if you learn Nach, Elisha was told to throw salt into the putrid water, and the water became, fine to drink. And by Moshe Rabbeinu, we find by Mora, also had sour water, salty water, terrible tasting water, bitter water. And he threw in an eitz, he threw in a wood. Hashem said, throw in the piece of wood into the water. Umosr ha-Rishonim, and the Rishonim tell us, who ate her diffly. It was an eitz that was either poisonous or also bitter tasting. And the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, this is really not a nace. Yisu develas ta'enim, you take figs, and you smear it on your shchin, on your boils, and you could become better. So, the truth is, even nowadays, modern medicine does not know how many medicines work. If you took to a doctor, so with all the chachma and all everything, certainly that part of the Chavis HaBavis is true. That we don't understand how it works. Hashem can make you better through a medicine. I mean, even if it's through a medicine, the medicine, nobody knows how it works. So that certainly fits in these words of the Chavis HaBavis. When he talks about something that's mazik you being the cure, I right away thought of inoculations. Like, who would have dreamed that the cure of terrible, terrible diseases is to inject yourself with the disease, with the germ, with the bacteria of the disease? So really, that's a fulfillment. And this was discovered when? How many years ago?
Was the first one.
Yeah, when they discovered with the cows, with the thing, I remember learning about it in school, the whole idea of inoculations. But that's a fulfillment of the Chavis HaBavis. That's the Chavis HaBavis saying, look, Hashem cures you through injecting yourself with poison. The truth is, right, what is salt made out of? I mean, this is not refuah, but salt is made up of two very dangerous chemicals. Sodium, poison, right? Certainly dangerous, and chloride, dangerous. Put it together, salt, gewaldig. And so again, the Chavis HaBavis, you know, we have to face what the Chavis HaBavis says. I don't want to sweep it under the rug. He's talking about your health, and he says you have to do your normal hishtadlus, the whole bit. But just like by Parnassah, you have to remember Hashem's in charge, and you can't really. It's not the medicine. And he says, therefore, you have to really, I don't know, be convinced, or you have to feel, you have to realize that Hashem can take away your illness without medicine. You don't need medicine. And therefore, you know, this is a person goes to a doctor. You know, it's not, you know, I don't, we have to struggle with this. Sometimes it does take a nace. Sometimes the doctor sees something and, you know, he says, you know, it's not curable. Now, we know stories of people who were told they have non-curable diseases and they go on to live. Everybody eventually dies, I'm sorry to announce. So, right? It's a question of what? Yeah, but eventually, right? So it's a question of when you're going to die, really. It's not a question of if you're going to, if we'll die. So there are many. I mean, I it could be we all know stories of people who have went to the doctor and the doctor said, you know, I have no medicine for this, and they've gotten better. They've beaten the illness. The books, the medical books, write that the body has enormous recoup. See, the medicine books don't talk about Hashem. But they talk about the body has enormous recuperative resources, that the body itself fights the disease, and the body itself can right itself. And they talk about humor, being in a good mood and being optimistic. They talk about prayer, right? Statistics, they've done scientific studies that prayer, that seem to show that prayer helps sick people, right? And that the rate of recovery from life-threatening illnesses is significantly higher if the person was prayed for, and like even if the person didn't know they were being prayed for. So it's not like a psychosomatic thing where, you know, if someone's praying for you, so you're optimistic and maybe you get better. But it was
a double-blind trial that they do for medicines, and the comment was that if they had used a medicine, they would be using it all the time. But because it's prayer,
But the Chavis HaBavis wants us, when we deal with illnesses, I don't know the answer to the question I asked. How in the world can he bring a proof from miracles? That's a miracle. You know, that's not the natural world. And if someone comes to me and says, you know, the doctor said kach the kach, and they say, well, you know, if it takes a miracle, I'm speechless. What am I supposed to say? But the Chavis HaBavis, if we're learning Chavis HaBavis and we're developing our bitachon, Chavis HaBavis feels we could and should and must apply bitachon to illnesses even when there's no known cure. And we have to be botech b'Hashem, meaning, what does it mean in real terms? That I'm relying on Hashem to make me better. That's all. That's what I'm relying on. Because even when I do have medicine, I'm relying on Hashem. Right? So now there's no medicine. So I'm also relying on Hashem to make medicine. Relying on Hashem. I have no promises, I have no guarantees, but I'm relying on Hashem to make me better. So I'm calm. Again, you know, we learn, we sit here Sunday night and we learn things, and you have to work. I'm not giving anyone musachas. You have to work on it. You have to go back to the first parak and the second parak and work on these things. You have to say to yourself, I'm relying on Hashem. That's what I'm relying on. I don't know what's going to happen. It's like I'm relying on Hashem to get me to Yerushalayim. I'm relying on Hashem to make me better. It's easier to do that when you don't have medicine. That's the truth. And then you say to yourself, and Hashem knows what's best for me. And do I really believe Hashem can make me better without medicine? Yeah, I guess I do. You know, you have to, like, there's no one around, no one's looking, and you have to say, yeah, well, you know, can Hashem? Of course, Hashem can make me better without medicine. Do you really believe that? Like, it's not easy. It's not easy. And then you say, and Hashem wants what's best for me, and Hashem can do it. So of course He's going to make me better. And if He doesn't, yeah, I guess it's not best for me. So, what can you say? But the Chavis HaVavis wants us to apply, He demands of us that we apply bitachon by illnesses, even to the degree that we say, see, by food He doesn't say this. He doesn't say by food that you're going to starve to death if you don't pick up your hand and put the food in your mouth and chew it and swallow it. You're going to starve. He doesn't say how bitachon Hashem is going to make you live anyway. If you don't open your store on time and you don't advertise, if advertising is needed, it is normal, then you're not going to have parnasa and you're going to be poor and you're not going to have money. And he doesn't say how bitachon that, he doesn't say that. You got to do your hishtadlus. You have to, don't get excited, he said, if you had a bad month, because it's anyway Hashem. It's not the business. So don't, like, start looking for another source of income once you had a bad month, because you're supposed to be realizing it's Hashem that's deciding what you were in any particular month anyway. But he doesn't turn around and say, don't open your store. Right? He always says, you're not allowed to do that. You have to open your store. Here, by illness, okay, he doesn't say don't take the medicine. He doesn't go that far. But he does say that he expects you to say, Hashem can cure me without medicine. And if, so he's talking if there's no known medicine, I imagine. If there's a known medicine, then we're back to Hishtadlus. Then it's like not opening your store if you don't go buy the medicine and take it. But when there's no known cure, so then you can apply bitachon, because it's not the medicine that does it, it's Hashem. So bitachon is mechayev. I have this other sefer that quotes Rabbeinu Yonah in Mishlei that says that the same thing, that when it comes to illness, you have to realize Yeshua Hashem Kerefayin. You have to feel afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavaro shel adam, Hashem can help. And it just means you have to, your mindset should be that Hashem can. You have to really believe that Hashem can make you better. And you say, well, of course He can. Okay. And He wants what's best for me. Okay. So I'm relying on Him to make me better. And if He chooses not to, that was His decision, that that's not what's best for me. And I accept that. But you can and should put your reliance on Him. It's a chiddush to me, the way he says it.
I think it comes from the Tanakh. At this time, when he wrote it, there was very little.
I'm sure that doesn't make the difference.
Well, but I'm saying we live in a society.
Yeah, but then the trick is not to. But that's what he said. Just like he says by Parnassus, if you have a bad month, so if the medicine doesn't work, you shouldn't panic. And people do panic. It's hard. Bitachon's hard. We panic and we go to a different doctor and we berate the doctor and we sue the doctor. For Yodatam Ayam Mipashas Osa, that's what Osa's sin was, that he was Batech Ala Raifim Vele Batech Ala Hashem B'cholyo. Okay, let's move on finally to Chelek Sheni. Till now we talked about having Bitachon in things that are necessary for your existence, life itself. Parnasa, basic needs. You need shelter, you need food, you need clothing. These are basic needs. What do you say about bitachon if I want more money than my basic needs? I want to earn money. I want to have more than my basic needs. So by basic needs, we said, of course you have to have bitachon. Hashem gave you life. Hashem will provide you with your basic needs. That's a no-brainer. But if I want an extra 10 bucks, so maybe Hashem doesn't want to give it to me, so I'm going to have to go earn it myself. This is what a person could think, even after he works on the first chelik. But now we're moving on to the second chelik, which is beyond bare necessities. For who ben yoni v'chush ha'odam v'sibos parnasoso, and his parnaso, beyond basic necessities. For ofani isuko b'mischor umalacha, all of his work, his parnasa, whatever he chooses to do, hovalah, tekidah, schiras, he goes through a whole list of employment possibilities. Tadolos hamalachim, working in government, varisos, the kablonos, nemonos, lavloros, a whole list of employment opportunities. And he wants to acquire money with it, b'moisros achayim. He wants to have beyond basic necessities. So the Chavis HaLovis is addressing that point, because a person could say, okay, Hashem, step aside. You did very good till now. I'm alive. I thank you. But I want to have a jacuzzi. I want to have a jacuzzi. So Hashem, I doubt you have anything to say if I should have a jacuzzi or not. So I'm going to earn money, and I'm going to buy a jacuzzi. That's what we could say. So the Chavis HaLovis will address pitachon that. Now, before we go further, the question is going to be, what is called basic necessities? Now, certainly society determines that also, because basic necessities of 100 years ago and 200 years ago is very different than what we consider basic necessities today, right? I mean, 2 years ago, who says you have to have a cell phone now? I don't know even now if it's a basic necessity, but air conditioning of HM certainly is. I mean, I think it is, even though I heard that some people, not everybody has air conditioning. But to me, it's a basic necessity. In all seriousness, what is nichlal in category one and what is nichlal in category two is also somewhat subjective. He doesn't give a means test of what's called basic necessities. Every person, life is different. To some people, place, having a massage once a month could be a basic necessity. I'm serious. They need that to function. So it's not clear. So and the Chavis HaLovis can't make it clear. Every person's life is different. But everybody understands that there's something called basic necessities, and there's something called beyond that. So he's going to address beyond that. Can I have bitachon? Should I have bitachon? Am I allowed to have bitachon? Is Hashem going to address the issue of how much extra money I have beyond my basic necessities? Harei ha'ofan hanochan, the proper way, the right way, liftoach b'hem al Hashem, to have bitachon, to develop your bitachon. And the Chavis HaLovis is going to say a tremendous chiddush here. It's a chiddush because I don't think we're going to be able to accept what he says. It's very difficult to accept what he says. And I think we'll benefit from talking about it, probably not today anymore. But it has to be dealt with. We'll learn the Chavis HaLovis, and he doesn't say irrational things. Chavis HaLovis' attitude towards these things are, you have to work for the reasons he gave in Perek Gimel. You have to work. You can't sit and do nothing. Hashem wants you to go to work and earn money. But Hashem only wants you to go to work and earn money. That gezeira, call it, that din, that rotzon Hashem, that you should be productive and do things, is only for your basic necessities. You have no, there is no reason, there is no rationale to work. So in other words, what he seems to be saying, and please, I hate to leave it on this note, but we'll have to continue this discussion next week. He seems to be saying that if I can earn for my basic necessities 3 hours a day, I have no right and no reason to want to work 4 hours a day. And if Hashem wants me to be rich and have more money than I need, he will provide it in my 3 hours of work. He will pump in the 3 hours of work, he'll pump it up with more money. But if he, and if he doesn't want me to have more money, I could work 12 hours a day, and I'm not going to earn an iota more than Hashem wants me to earn. So I should, he wants, the Chavis HaLava seems to be saying that he wants everyone to work the amount that it takes to earn basic necessities. That's Yehovah's Hishtadlus. That's your obligation to do Hishtadlus. And whether you'll have money beyond that or not, whether you'll have money beyond that or not, is up to Hashem. And so what's the point of working 6 hours? You're not going to earn more money than Hashem is gozer for you for 6 hours. Now really you could say that about the 3 hours also, theoretically. But the 3 hours you already established the yisod of Hishtadlus. So you have to do that. But now we're in the 6 hours. So that's what he seems to be saying. And I think that people can't accept this.
Sounds people, good.
Sounds good, but
nowadays it's good. Not even so relevant, because nowadays people have to work from, like,
right,
you know, 9 to 7, whatever it is.
That's a very good point.
In other words, you're not going to get more.
Even in a store. In other words, if I open my store, I think the Chavis HaLavas will make an allowance, so to speak. In other words, if I open my store from 9 till 12, and then I close it, within 2 months, I'll have no customers at all, right? Within 1 month, I'll have no customers at all. And I won't, and then I wouldn't have been doing my basic Hishtadlus. So we have to work more than the 3 hours, even though there's a famous falafel store in Rehov Yecheskel that indeed closes every day when he feels he earned enough money for that day. It's a famous falafel store. You heard about it? You never heard of it? A famous falafel store in Rehov Yecheskel. I haven't been there in a while. I don't know if it's still there. But it was famous. People, tour guides in Yerushalayim, you know, foot tours, would point it out. And, you know, what time is he closing today? Sometimes he closed at 12 o'clock noon, and sometimes he closed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and sometimes he closed at 10 in the morning. My kids told me about it. That's how we live. We can't even do that. I said, first of all, we don't live by the day. I said, we live by the month. Mm-hmm. You know, the mortgage payments. We live by the month. That's how. So, and a chanami. There's nothing wrong with transforming. But again, our society is structured. Money of us. I mean, a guy who has a job, right? And he tells his boss, you know, based on what you're paying me, I'm only working till 2 o'clock every day. Because that's enough of my necessities, right? So the boss will fire him, right? Say, and then he won't even be doing his Hishtadlus. So, but that's, you know, that's true. But everybody, like I said in Bitachon, everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. But we don't really believe. It's not supposed to be that way. Chavis HaLavas is telling us a tremendous. We have to work. We have to accept what the Chavis HaLavas is saying. We'll learn it inside next time. Mitzvah Shem B'li Neder. He says, again, I mean, it's very compelling logic. If we've been learning all along these weeks, it's compelling logic. He says, Hashem is going to provide you with whatever he decides to provide you with. You have to do your Hishtadlus. So he says, your Hishtadlus is basic necessities. That's your Hishtadlus. That's B'zeya Sapecha Tocha Lechem. That's Kehu B'gan Eidim L'Avdol L'Shomra. That's your basic needs.
But now these basic necessities, it's just so endless.
Oh, so now, again, I'm saying, so there's escape hatches, so everybody can breathe easy. But we shouldn't breathe easy, because he's teaching us something very fundamental, and it's something we have to work on in whatever context it may pop up. We breathe easy because our idea of basic necessities, you know,
that's become
I mean, most people that I... you know, in Israel especially, the statistics are that most people don't make ends meet. But I don't know if they're working for basic necessities. It doesn't necessarily mean they're working for basic necessities. Could be they don't make ends meet because they have payments on the car, which may not be a basic necessity. I'm saying, so there's always the question of what's a basic necessity. But then beyond that, so that's one escape hatch. That, you know, my basic necessity is, you know, I don't know, the Torah wants me to own a house, and, you know, I don't have a 12-room mansion with an attic and a basement. I have, you know, my kids are on top of each other, you know. But I don't know, I can't make ends meet. I have to make the mortgage payments and have the utility bills. These are really, these are basic necessities. So that's like one escape hatch, so to speak. Another escape hatch is we'll be fired if we have a job. So, you know, if we have a store, we'll lose customers very, very quickly. You know, but what can I say? You do have people that work independently, like computer and whatever jobs, and they really have to question, you know. Now, there's other escape hatches, because a lot of this lightens up after a while, because some people are running businesses and they're employing others. So they're not just working for themselves, but they're working for others, so to speak. Like, let's say they can close their factory up after, let's say the guy in the falafel store can close the falafel store after 3 hours, but maybe Hashem wants him to keep it open because he has a worker who's sitting there boiling the french fries and the falafels, and his worker needs to work 7 hours for his basic necessities, because he's earning, like, you know, 28 shekel an hour. Right? So you are an employer and you have a responsibility to your employees. So you have to stay open and go beyond your basic necessities because you have an achrayus to your employees. So it's not so simple. But again, these are just things that make us go, you don't have to have bitachon after all. Like, it's okay. But the basic principle is a very difficult one for us to swallow. He says, because really, Hishtadlus, you know, we say, oh, Baruch Hashem, Hishtadlus is mutter. Because we don't really believe Hashem, please pardon me. Do we really believe that Hashem will give us without the Hishtadlus? So when we hear from Rabbi Milinowitz that Hishtadlus is not only allowed, but it's required, we all, Baruch Hashem, because we don't really believe that if I stayed home tomorrow from work, Hashem will give me the money. Yeah, right. We don't really believe that. So, but if we would, then we would say, oh, I love what the Chavitah Lada says. After I finish working, if I'm making the necessities, I can go home and sit in an easy chair and bake a cake and learn Chavitah Lada's. And if I'm supposed to be wealthy, if I'm supposed to have money, I'm going to have it anyway. So we'll pick it up from here next time.